I just want to share with you tonight, just briefly, just about this wonderful Savior that we have, who is available to all that would come and seek him and that would receive him. I just want to read this with you. And I want to read out of John chapter 19. And just listen to me. I'm not going to be long. And scripture says in chapter 19, verse 23, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Now I want to just shoot over to the book of Matthew, and I want to just share a little bit of what Matthew says about this story in Matthew chapter 27. And beginning in verse 35, it says, "And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and they kept watch over him there. And over his head they put charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" And now skip over in verse 50, I'm going to read this. "And while Jesus was on the cross, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. He died. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, who had passed away, were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe, and they said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Pray with me. Father God, I thank you for your word. Your word that brings life. Your word that has power. Power to save. Power to redeem the lost. To open blind eyes, to break the chains of sin. I thank you for your word that you have left us for today. And Father God, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, no one would walk out of here the same, but that we would experience the power of Jesus Christ, and that our hearts would be forever transformed by this good news. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I look at this story. It never gets old. It just gets better. The more I take a hard look at Jesus on the cross. The message, if I had a title for you tonight, it's simply this. It's time for new clothes. No, I'm not talking about the ones that you're wearing now. Everybody looks good tonight, by the way. You look beautiful. Great outfit. But I'm talking about a different type of clothes. And thank God I'm talking about a different type of clothes. Because sometimes we get caught up in a little bit of this, right? I live with three beautiful, amazing women. My wife, my 9-year-old little girl, Zaina, my daughter, Zoe. And I got to make sure that I tell all three of them, Tara, Zaina, Zoe, I got to tell them when we head out of the house on Sunday, "You look beautiful." You're wearing just a beautiful outfit. You got to do this. Even when they're a little fussy and they don't like what they're wearing, it's up to us dads, husbands, that we just tell them, "You look good in that." You know, I'm finding my kids like to dress, my girls especially, already. I'm like, "Oh, my Lord, it's going to be a long journey." And, but thank God that we're able to dress another way, spiritually speaking. Now, understand this in this story. Because we're going to get back to this topic of clothes in a second. Jesus was on a tough journey after he was arrested, right? You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was with his 11 disciples, his 12th one showed up when they were hanging in the park and betrayed him and brought the soldiers, and they arrested Jesus. The other disciples all ran away. So as I look at this story, I realize that in his last hours before his death and resurrection, he hung out with men that didn't respect him, didn't revere him, didn't love him, had no relationship with him. Matter of fact, they hated him. And these were soldiers who he spent the last few hours before he was crucified. You know, in these last hours, Jesus was taken to Pilate. Pilate didn't really know what he wanted to do with him. He took him out back and he beat Jesus. He was scourged, as scripture says, with the cat of nine tails, a whip, and these straps. And in these straps were pieces of wood and metal. And they beat him. And then they handed him over to the soldiers, where the entire battalion got together. And they took off Jesus' clothes. And they changed his outfit. They put on this purple robe on him. And then they pressed this crown of thorns on his head. Then they had this piece of wood, a reed. And then they took turns hitting him with this piece of wood, slapping him in the face, punching him. And they mocked him, and they would pretend, and they would bow down, and they would say, "Who's hit you now? Oh, majesty, oh, Jesus," as he was dressed in this outfit. And then they took off the purple robe, and they put back on his garments, and they had him carry the cross to this place called the skull, a place called Golgotha. It was a place that means death. And these soldiers, they laid Jesus down on this cross and they nailed his hands to the cross. They drove nails through his hands and into this old rugged cross. Then they drove nails into his feet, into this old rugged cross. But before they nailed him to this cross, they took off his clothes. And there he was. Pretty much naked in this shameful position, as we would see it, and they hang him on this cross. And four soldiers, after hanging Jesus on the cross, decide that they're going to take four pieces of his garment. They're going to break it up into four pieces and they're going to split it up. And then there was Jesus' tunic. Scripture says it was seamless, which means it was a unique piece of garment, which means it was woven from the top all the way down to the bottom. It would almost be described as this perfect piece. There was no seams that ran on the sides or in the back or somewhere. It was woven clean, whole, perfect piece down to the bottom. And when the four soldiers saw this piece, they said, let's not tear this. Let's gamble for it. And I took a hard look as I've been really dwelling on this. Here are four soldiers that are so close to the cross of Jesus Christ, but yet so far from him. And here today, I see the same thing. A people that would come to this place and we'd watch, but we won't receive. And here are a people where we would give our attention to four pieces of garment rather than the Savior who can give you everlasting peace. But yet, we're in a time and a generation where we want something tangible, right? We'll take whatever we can get. You take one, and we've got these four pieces as if that's going to do something for you. And you're right there. Here's the tunic, and here these four guys decide that, because all they have to do now is this, just watch, right? So here's Jesus on the cross, and all they can do is but now sit around and watch and wait for him to die as he's suffering in this severe pain. That was their job, just to sit around. So they begin to gamble for the tunic, A piece that they thought was a nice outfit, a nice piece of clothes. We'll take that. We won't break that up, but we'll gamble for it. And I see a people all the time that are still gambling for what they want. Still trying to. Scripture says that they were rolling dice. They didn't start rolling dice in Harlem. They was rolling dice 2,000 years ago. Some of us know what it is to roll the dice, right? Some of I know what it is to roll the dice. Some of us, we still rolling dice. You know, you take the two pieces, you hold them up high. You thinking something going to bless these two pieces. You hoping that what? You're going to roll a 7 or an 11, right? And you roll it and throw it out. And you talk a good game, too. You can't roll dice and be quiet. Everybody got talking. I got this one right here. You know, this is the one right here. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. And we hold it high. We're rolling the dice. We're going to take the gamble. We're hoping that we get lucky because everybody wants to win. And everybody wants to be able to win and get that perfect piece because we all want a piece of perfection. Pastor Carter spoke about it earlier this morning about Adam and Eve who wanted to be like a God. So this is our sin nature coming alive in that moment that we would want to be perfect. We would want to be something better than what we are. We're always aiming for something. And so we roll the dice and we talk it up and we feel like we got the right talk and the right things to say. And we feel like if I could just be lucky right now, and all the while, here's Jesus on the cross. And oh, dear God, as I look at this, some of us are still trying to roll the dice, hoping that we can get lucky today. Hoping that we can have something tangible, something that we can actually touch and hold, rather than recognizing that here's Jesus Christ who died for our sins on the cross. And here he is taking on our mess. And only him, only Jesus Christ can give us everlasting peace. Only Jesus Christ can give us something that will last. This stuff is all going to fade away. But oh, we just want these little pieces, these garments, and we want the tunic, and we'll roll the dice, and we put everything on ourselves and our own efforts, feeling as if we can achieve if I just say the right thing. But it was all said on the cross, and that's what you need to recognize. Because while we're here gambling and trying to roll the dice, Jesus says on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prays unto his Father. In great agony, while we as a people are rolling the dice, trying to take matters in our own hands, hoping that we can just get lucky today, hoping that we can just get a 7 and a win. I'm going to tell you something. If you put it in your own hands, you won't win. But if you trust in the hands that were pressed and pierced on the cross, you will not lose. They roll the dice because we hope and we aim to get something that we can have. Everybody likes gifts. I told you, I got a family of 5. They already talking about Christmas. When it starts to get close, I'm going to preach this message to them because this is what it comes to right here. No, I'm serious. Now listen. Why in the world do we put so much focus on trying to get these garments and these pieces? Why do we attempt so much to try to grab the gift when we have the gift giver right here? I want the gift giver. I want the gift of salvation. I want the gift of Jesus Christ himself. Everybody wants a gift, but take hold of the gift giver. Don't miss it. Your head's down trying to gamble and go for it yourself, but take a hard look at Jesus Christ who died on the cross. He gave up his life for you and I, that we might live. Yes, we need a miracle, but here, take hold of the miracle worker. Yes, we need a healing, but take hold of the healer. Man, there's power. There's freedom, there's healing in Jesus Christ. You know, they made him change his outfits twice in their own strength. in their own attempt to make Jesus out as to what they want him to be. In mockery, in jest. But I want you to know that Jesus changed his clothes a third time. Remember the first time he changed clothes and he put on a purple robe. Then he took that off and he put on his old outfit again and went to the cross, all in the course of what man expected him to be and to look like, thinking that they had some sense of control, but it was the perfect plan of Jesus all the while, because then they brought him to the cross. And when they laid him down, they took off his clothes and Jesus changed outfits a third time. And when he changed outfits on that third time, you know what he put on? He put on our sin. He put on our mess. He took on our guilt and shame, and he dressed himself a third time in the perfect will of the Father, that you and I would not have to wear the mess that we wear today. It's time for new clothes. It's time for new clothes. And he's working it out while we still gambling, trying to roll dice for a tunic. You've missed it. It's not the tunic that's perfect. It's Jesus Christ and his perfection. And so Jesus, in this moment of great agony, things get a little shook up, right? Scripture tells us that he cried out one last time with a loud voice. A loud voice. And he died. But death can't hold the power of Jesus Christ. Death can't hold the power of Jesus Christ. So even in his death, even in that loud cry, the curtain tore. And this curtain tore is symbolic of saying to you and I that we can now step into that holy place and be reconciled with the Father in heaven because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us. Scripture says that the earth shook. I love this, because I take scripture on its absolute truth of what it says. Golgotha didn't shake. Jerusalem didn't shake. You've got to understand this with me. New York City didn't just shake. The entire earth shook. Shook. It's a demonstration of the power of Jesus that I can shake things up. I could have destroyed everything right now. In the very breath, in the very outcry of my voice, I shook the entire earth. But I just want you to know that I'm going to spare you. I'm not here to condemn you. I want you to know it's me on the cross, not you. I am your substitute. And I cry out to my Father in this last breath, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the rock was split. Some of our hearts, man, they've been like a rock. Stubborn, angry, bitter. Not willing to forgive. But just like that rock was split. I'm not talking a little pebble, a little stone. I'm talking a rock. It just split at the sound of his voice. It's the power of Jesus to cut through our rocky hearts, to be able to do a work and transform our lives. Thank you, Jesus. So now tonight, it's time for some new clothes. Because in exchange in this moment, right? While we were yet sinners, as they were gambling, as they were trying to get the tunic, but there's this centurion who stops. He stops in what he's doing. He sees everything that's going on. He sees the curtain tear. He sees the earth shake from underneath his feet. He sees the rock split, and there becomes a recognition of the power of Jesus Christ. This is not just a natural man dying on the cross. This is a supernatural encounter with God. And I say now, truly, this has got to be the Son of God. And he confesses with his mouth, and he believes in this moment. And I know, as my word tells me, that he's received by Jesus Christ in this moment as a new man, as a new creature. Because these brothers didn't know that when Jesus put on that final outfit of sin, bitterness, anger, fear, he now offers us a new outfit, brand new clothes. It's salvation. It's his righteousness. I close with this. In Isaiah chapter 61, the prophet said this. He said, I give praise to the Lord, right? My soul exalts my God because he's given me the garment of salvation and he's covered me with the robe of righteousness. Now that's what I want to put on. I don't deserve it, but this is what I'm going to wear today. The garment of salvation. And let me tell you, the garment of salvation and the robe of his righteousness, I'll take it any day because my righteousness is a mess. It's like filthy rags. It's no good. And it just starts to wear old really fast. And I'm tired of trying to figure out what I'm going to wear. Aren't you? And then we wear layers because we don't want people to see our fears and see our anger and see our bitterness. And we keep putting this stuff on. You're sweating yourself out. Take it off. It's time for some new clothes. It's time for some new clothes. Worship team, if you could get ready, praise God. Praise God. You know what? I love it. The garment of salvation. It's not made out of linen, cotton, silk. Forget all that. The garment of salvation, it's made up of mercy, God's mercy. That's the material of the garment of salvation. It's made up of unconditional love, which means it never wears down. It's always a good fit. Right? The garment of salvation, it's full of grace. It's full of grace and it's full of forgiveness. It's always forgiving. It's God's forgiveness. He says, wear it. It's time for new clothes. Wear my robe of righteousness. You know, there's only been like one time in my life I've experienced a 5-star hotel. You go to them fancy 5-star hotels, you go in the closet, they got them nice robes hanging up. I don't know about you, but When I took a shower, I said, let me try on that. And I tried it on. Boy, that felt really good. Like, it just had me sleep like a baby. But that robe doesn't compare to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God, it's the opportunity for you and I to be in right standing with God. That we would be held and carried and covered in the power of his spirit. I love these clothes. And guess what? One size fits all. One size fits all. Praise God. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. This is exciting. It's time for new clothes. Hey, listen, I want to invite you up to pray with me. I want to invite you up here to the altar. And I want you to give up your old clothes. And some of you have been wearing bitterness and anger too long. Some of you have been wearing fear way too long. It's time. I want you to come up here and make an exchange. Come and get your new clothes. Come on. We're gonna come here to Jesus Christ and we're going to receive him and say, give me my new clothes now. I need something that's going to fit. I don't want to change anymore what I'm wearing. I want to put this on and be in the comfort of your love and your grace. You, some of you believers in here that you may have brought an unsaved friend. Tell them right now. It really feels very comfy. I'll walk down with you to get you a new outfit and grab their hand and bring them down here. It's time for new clothes. It's the garment of salvation. The robe of righteousness. Praise God. Let's worship. Amen. Praise God. Would you pray this prayer with me? Hallelujah. Dear Jesus, I come before you this evening in need of a change, in need of a Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. You paid my debt as a sacrifice. You rose again on the third day. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Clothe me now in your love, in your grace, in your forgiveness. I am a new creature. I'm changed by the power of your blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank you for your perfect plan for my life. Thank you for dressing me in my new clothes, my garment of salvation, the robe of your righteousness. I have no plans to take it off. I'm walking out feeling great. In your name. Amen.